Production. Recorded live.
Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hey, not much. How are you doing?
Just fine. You want to have a nightcap?
Yeah, I think it's high time.
Well,
not that I'm high.
No,
or anything.
Of course not.
Yeah.
I was just going to have some cognac. What about you?
I was just going to have some bourbon. And shut the garage door. So, yeah.
It's simple.
Yeah, exactly. A fairly straightforward evening.
Yeah.
I've had a...
We talked, I was trying to get back on to the booze train, so to speak. And
yeah.
I found it's just not that easy. Like I said, I had a number of drinks that night and didn't really feel like anything special was happening. Same thing the next night. And then on the third night, I started really just pounding the gin and tonics and whatnot. Finally got a little tipsy. And more than a little tipsy, I guess. And had a mild hangover the next morning. So, it's all been very kind of, you said something about, I questioned, why do I even bother drinking? And you said it was, the fun factor. But the fun factor hasn't really been there for me, or at least not what do you call it? You got to ease back into it, is what I'm finding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you have to be careful in all endeavors. For example, today I cut my finger.
How'd you do that?
I was trying to cut through some cut a layer of fat off of this cow's leg, and I was cutting toward myself, which, of course, you're never supposed to do. And I didn't really get myself too bad, but I nicked off a little chunk of skin on my right index finger, and it stings.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, these things happen.
Right now I'm looking out the window in the back of our house. Of course, it's quite late here in New Orleans, and it's dark out there, but Christy is out there. Measuring behind our house with a measuring tape.
Mm-hmm.
For a swimming pool.
Really?
Yeah. See,
wow.
we've had an ongoing debate about this for years.
When
we grew up, when we were looking for a house, shopping for a house,
mm-hmm.
we made a list of different things that were important to us in a house.
No, mm-hmm.
Swimming pool was not on the list.
Yeah.
And shortly after buying this house and moving in, Christy started saying that was really what was most important of all to her was.
I don't want
to
hear this shit.
That was really what was most important was a swimming pool, and that she just couldn't be happy without one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to express to her that there really is no room, our lot.
Yeah.
Our lot extends around the house about 3 inches on all sides.
Yeah.
We don't have a yard to speak of. We certainly
yeah.
don't have any grass. It's all concrete slab. And there's just no room for a pool. And
couldn't you put in a moat?
No, it would have to be a 3-inch moat.
Yeah, but I mean, like, she could actually swim laps around the house.
No, because she couldn't fit into that 3-inch groove. She's wider
oh.
than 3 inches, you think.
Oh,
so anyway, okay. She was out there with the measuring tape, and she continues to pursue this, and it gives me a practical ulcer. So I've instructed her to just stop, get back to me when you actually have some hard numbers. When you've actually, if you really care enough about a pool, and you think
mm-hmm.
this can happen, then do some research, find a pool that could possibly fit. How much would it cost? Where would it go? And work out these things and then come back to me. But what you're going to find is that it's impossible.
Yeah.
You have confidence in me, at least.
Well, I'm not taking sides on this for the record, but well, I did.
There you go again. You said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a positive statement. So.
Oh, okay. Well,
I appreciate your solidarity.
Yeah, I guess, you know, what I would say, though, is that I have a deep appreciation for bodies of water, whether man-made or otherwise. And I think that one should endeavor to find opportunities to engage with bodies of water.
Sure. Well, you know, the bayou is only 3 blocks from here.
Aren't there alligators in it, though?
Occasionally. I mean, it's very unusual for there to be an alligator spotted there, but there was an alligator spotted there a while back. But,
actually, you know, one way that you might, I don't know if this would help you in this apparent dispute, but you might point out that if you did build a pool, it might attract alligators.
Well, I'm more worried about the neighbor kids.
Yeah, well, but if you put it in the backyard, that's not going to be an issue.
Sure.
Just put up an electric fence around it.
They come over here all the time. They'd be wanting to come and swim in the pool. It's just one more thing. Oh, yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible to contemplate.
Yeah. If you fill it with battery acid, though, they wouldn't want to swim in it.
I do have a bit of good news, though.
What's that?
Well, you know, this Greenway project that I've been working on for a while?
Mm-hmm.
The city of New Orleans is finally moving forward with that, and they have not quite sealed the deal on a contract for a design team to do it, but
mm-hmm.
they have at least identified who they want that to be, and I guess it's a formality now to actually finalize the contract. So it's the design workshop out of Austin, Texas.
Uh-huh. Oh, nice.
Their headquarters are in Aston.
Yeah.
This job was, there was an RFP put out, and people, or I should say firms, from around the country applied, maybe a dozen or so, and some
mm-hmm.
of them with pretty big reputations for doing work like this around the world. And so we were pretty excited, and it looks like this is supposedly they do great stuff. So anyway, it feels like things are happening with that, and we're gearing up for the 5th annual hike of this stretch of land we call the Lafitte Corridor.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Last year when we organized the 4th annual hike, I gave people my personal assurance that this would be the last chance to see the corridor in its undeveloped state.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are a year later, and it's still completely undeveloped.
Wow.
So
you could continue doing that every year, and it could become sort of joke then.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah.
Fortunately or otherwise, there has been a lot of progress, but it's just not been tangible progress. It has been slow progress, but there's progress nonetheless. So we hope to make that evident, and hopefully we can even rope some of these people from this actual design team into coming along on the hike.
Yeah, no doubt. Maybe, you know, and Alan lives in Austin, Texas, my brother.
So I've heard, although I'm just not really sure if it's really the Austin team or the Aspen team. That's gonna be
gotcha. Yeah.
But, you know, it's just fresh news, hot off the presses.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it.
Yeah. So what's new with you?
Oh, not much. I smell kind of like this cow. You know, I spent the day cutting up actually just one out of 3 cows that I and a group of people purchased from a dead person. And
you bought live cows from a dead person, or?
Yeah. Well, no. They were dead by the time I was cutting off their legs and stuff.
Yeah, I would hope so.
The cows, not the people. I never cut off any people's legs. But
yeah.
So there was this lady who died. I didn't actually know her, but this other guy that I sort of know knew her. And she had 3 cows, and nobody in the family wanted to deal with them. So he got a group of people together to buy them, and then we had them not completely butchered. I'm not sure what you call it when you just have a cow like basically killed and skinned and gutted. But that's what we did. And then, you know, so we had these huge portions of the cow that we, about 10 of us got together today in this other guy's garage and proceeded to hack them into edible chunks. And
this is a fairly common occurrence in Missoula, I think.
Well, not entirely. I mean, I've done a lot of meat butchering since I moved here. I've never done it before, but once I started hunting, I found that, you know, I wanted to see that process all the way through. And
let me ask this, if I may.
Yeah.
House, have you seen that documentary King Corn?
No.
Well, I highly recommend it, by the way. I think you would find it has some resonances with a certain project that you and I bandied about, the Long Sweet and Yellow.
Yeah.
Long Sweet and Yellow. Well, anyway, it's about two guys who get an acre of land out. They farm an acre of corn out in Iowa or someplace. And, and then they try to follow it through the food production system. The one thing that was discussed in that documentary a lot was grain-fed beef.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if these cows, if you know what they were fed.
I don't know that.
Ranging around and eating grass, a lot of grass?
Probably so, yeah.
That's, of course, what you think of when you think of cows. You think of, you know, them ranging around and eating grass, at least I do. But it turns out that a lot of, or almost all of the beef that you would get at the supermarket is, they stuff them full of grain. They, like, feed them grain until they would almost die. And,
oh, right.
So if this was just a woman and not an agribusiness, I would suspect that she probably was not doing that. And so this might actually be, like, grass-fed cattle, which supposedly has a different taste.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite different and quite tasty. We had some of the hamburger tonight for dinner. And, you know, it's pretty cool to, like, you know, cut a chunk of meat off of a leg one day and eat it that night. You know, it doesn't get much fresher than that.
It doesn't.
And it was delicious.
I don't suppose this would be a good time to discuss that new study about the beef and processed meats.
Well, you could certainly discuss it because I don't know which study you're talking about.
Oh, it's just a study actually that came out sometime in the last month, I think, that just kind of further verified what previous studies had, just that there's an association between excessive beef consumption, or red meat, I think was the phrase they used, excessive red meat or high red meat consumption, and early death.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to die early for plenty of other reasons besides that one. So.
Well, I certainly hope not.
Yeah.
But I always wondered about the processed meats. I mean, what is the deal with processed meats? Why are they so bad? I mean, is that like salami and stuff like that? You know, what's wrong with a little salami?
Is that what they're talking about, those kinds of meats?
Yeah, like cold cuts.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those are you know, kind of spare parts rather than, you know, the prime cuts
like
of meat.
Of meat, that's the problem?
What's that?
So you're suggesting it might be the cut of meat that's the problem. I always thought it was somehow the processing or the curing or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it got me thinking, you know, that we have, as our regular routine here, is to kind of make little sandwiches for our lunches for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we usually like make them on Sunday and just eat them throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, cheese and meat sandwiches. And I was thinking, well, that, you know, that might be an easy thing to change in our diet. Just instead of making a habit of having lunch meat, have something else. Like, is there a vegetarian option? And supposedly there are some soy products that are like fake lunch meats.
Yeah.
Ever had any of those?
They do exist. I haven't. You know, I finally became sort of cognizant of how much gas soy products gave me, and it gives me pause.
Well, I'm sure it gave a lot of people pause.
Yeah, we made this stew one time a couple of years ago that had it called for tofu, and I think I was sort of doubling it or something, and ended up using even more tofu than, you know, the proportion of tofu in the dish became much higher than it was called for in the recipe. So it was almost like stewed tofu with other things in it. We ate a lot of it over the course of a couple of days. And I've just never had such a rumbling sort of constant thunder in the background going on in my whole life.
I think that's a problem with a lot of vegetarians.
Yeah.
That they're gassy.
Yeah, yeah. And gas bags.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be, but I do understand that that tofu is supposed to be pretty good for you.
Yeah, well, it probably is.
Do you like miso?
Oh, I love miso, yeah.
Isn't that made with tofu paste or something? Soy paste?
Yeah, but I think it's Japanese soy.
Uh-huh. And that makes a difference, huh? So,
right, exactly.
Have you ever made miso yourself?
You know, let me think about that. I think I tried to one time, I've made it plenty of times with the paste, you know, and that you get at the store.
I've never found one.
What's that?
I can't even find it at the store. Maybe I'm at
seriously?
The wrong store. Yeah, seriously.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the stores that there's one store here in town in particular that usually has multiple types, like almost a whole shelf full. But I've never found one that even remotely comes close to the quality of miso that I get from the Japanese restaurant that we go to here. It's kind of frustrating.
Hmm.
Always just seems kind of bland and, watery. I mean, I know that sounds weird to say, but like one of the things that I like about miso soup from the sushi restaurant here in town is that it seems to have a almost a creamy substance to it, even though it's, you know, just a fairly thin soup. And that's not the case with this other stuff.
Well, you're making me hungry just talking about it.
Yeah, well, as it happens, now get this. Here's a coincidence for you, since you asked about me. So the stew that I was talking about with all that tofu in it actually is made with a miso peanut butter base, which is very uniquely delicious. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, I have not butchered any cows or made any tofu anything lately, but we did, Christy did make a trip to the Ponchatoula Strawberry Festival. Got a lot of strawberries. And we made some homemade strawberry ice cream, which is okay. And then I made some strawberry sorbet, which was much better, I thought, in fact. Then I thought
you have an ice cream maker, or were you just...
Yeah, we got a little ice cream maker, and it's like a very $50 appliance.
Mm-hmm.
Very basic, no frills, but it does the job. And I thought the sorbet was better than any of the ice creams that I've made. And just a lot more appealing.
Nice.
And of course, the sorbet has no dairy at all.
Right, exactly. It's just sort of fruit and, water base?
Actually, there was no water at all in it. It was like fruit and sugar.
Oh, gotcha. That sounds delicious.
There you have it, yeah. It's getting kind of warm here.
Is it really?
And so sorbets and things like that are kind of, you know, appealing.
Yeah, it's up into the 50s here.
Back in the 50s. Wow, that's good.
Yeah. My hands smell like meat.
But yeah, rangy grass-fed beef.
Yeah, and I've washed them quite several times. That's
that's one of the downsides of butchering your own meat, is that you kind of start to smell like dead cow.
So where are you storing all this cow?
Well, that's a little bit of a quandary. I have two chest freezers out in the garage, and both of them are packed to the gills. The freezer in our kitchen that's attached to the refrigerator is so full that I'm almost afraid to open it, lest something fall out and break my foot. So my share of that meat comes to about 120 pounds of mostly hamburger.
Huh.
I don't really have any place to put it right now. I'm supposed to get it tomorrow, and so somehow between now and tomorrow I need to go through the freezers, and I imagine that there's some stuff in there that probably could or should go, or can be consolidated.
I find this fantastic. You know, we got the smallest possible chest freezer that you can get. It's,
yeah.
Tiny.
Yeah.
We got it to store Christie's breast milk when she was pumping, which
mm-hmm.
she no longer is. So now we no longer have any breast milk, and we don't really have any use for it.
Yeah.
So we're thinking of, you know, selling it. I can't imagine having two chest freezers. I assume that they're probably bigger than our chest freezer.
Well, one of them is a stand-up freezer, so it's about the size of a refrigerator.
Yeah.
So I couldn't call it a chest freezer. And the other one is actually one of the, I'm not sure if it's the same size as yours, but it was, at the time, it was the smallest chest-style freezer that you could get at Sears.
Yeah, yeah. But so anyway, you've got quite a bit more capacity there, and you're full. Our freezer is empty. I mean...
I didn't understand what you just said.
Oh, you've got quite a bit of freezer capacity, and you're at capacity. We've got less, but our freezer is empty.
Wow, that's insane. So you're not accustomed to acquiring meat and other freezable type things in bulk?
Apparently not.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, just something about the hurricanes and the kind of dicey power supply.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of makes me leery of that.
Yeah.
My parents had a freezer full of like a side of beef. Once when I was a kid, the electricity went out when we were on vacation, and the thing smelled so bad that we used to, as I remember, opening it up and just smelling it as a kid, just for a thrill.
Ah. Yeah. Yeah, that's not
problem.
Good when that happens.
No, I guess not.
Yeah. Of course, you know, I think, I mean, obviously what happened during Hurricane Katrina is quite a different kind of anomaly.
Sure.
And it is certainly to be considered and taken into account when acquiring such things. But, you know, I mean, like, we have periodic power outages. We actually had one here just last week for a couple hours during the day. But, you know, those typically don't last long enough to even begin to thaw the freezer since it's,
absolutely.
Of course, it's closed. And
when we were, when Hurricane Gustav came
mm-hmm.
last, you remember that last year, we evacuated
yeah.
for Gustav, and there was a power outage. Actually, much of the city of New Orleans lost power for an extended period. But our house only lost power, we think, for about 12 hours. And Christy had we had this chest full of breast milk, human breast
yeah.
milk. Christy had pumped laboriously. It would have broken my heart if that stuff had gone bad. But, of course, since it was only, the electricity was only off for 12 hours or so.
Yeah.
And the freezer was never opened, and it was really quite full. It was not a problem.
Yeah,
never
cool.
really, never really melted or anything like that.
Is she still breastfeeding?
she's still breastfeeding, but not pumping. She hasn't pumped for quite some time.
Yeah.
So it's all straight from the tap, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Or not at all.
It's interesting. You know, that kind of happened with us as well. For a while, Daylin was very, devotedly.
Assiduous, I think is the word you're looking for.
Assiduously, as it were. Pumping, and it was my job to label them, you know, with the date and that kind of thing. And I actually got great personal pleasure out of giving each one a special name or kind of different variations on her nicknames and the words for boobs. Or milk.
Gotcha.
So like Bob's boobs or Scooter's hooters. Yeah.
I can see where that would be quite, yes, fun.
Yeah, I was very, it gave me personal pleasure to think up these ridiculous puns.
On other days.
Yeah, exactly. But then she stopped and, you know, it seemed like it worked out. I mean, you know, part of the thing I think was that a realization that really it was, I think she kind of resigned herself to the fact that she was never going to be so far away from Jules that you know, we needed this backup supply.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, and of course he started eating other things and that kind of thing. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, well, well.
Yeah, kids today. So I sense a kind of dramatic pause there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps this would be a good time to wind it up.
Yeah, you know, I'm so used to talking for an hour that it seems strange to do so, but we've probably been talking for a good old-fashioned half hour or so anyway, so.
29 minutes by my count.
Well, see, there you go. I'm a professional conversational time estimator.
Unless you have something else on your mind.
No, not really. I'm actually... kind of wiped out. I had this long day of cutting meat and then followed by a barbecue, and so my brain is kind of empty.
Yes, well, I'm invigorated, of course, because we went up to the North Shore, as we call it, for a wedding today, and weddings
mm-hmm.
are always wonderful festive events, and I love a good wedding, so
yeah.
It was a very happy occasion, but I don't necessarily think that it makes for fascinating conversation. So probably we should wind it up. It has been a pleasure, though, to hear the sound of your voice once again.
And yours as well. Yeah.
Righty, then. Well, I bid you adieu. My love to your wife and kids. Kid.
Same back at you. And we will talk very soon.
Indeed. Bye-bye.
Cool. See ya.